This is Tech Leaders Hub, bringing you the voices of the tech industry brightest leaders. I'm your host, Natasha Mikołajczak, and let's get into it. Hello and welcome, everybody. Welcome back to Tech Leaders Hub. Today I am joined not by one, not by two, but by three different guests, and they have all, well, more than one thing in common. First of all, they all work at SDX Next, so they are my work colleagues, but don't worry, I will grill them just as much as I would my usual guests. And second of all, they were all co-creators of Python Tech Radar. If you still haven't heard about Python Tech Radar, I have no idea where you live, probably under a rock, but Python Tech Radar is the big project we were working on for the past few months. It has plenty of good insights about Python, about tech, and about the future of software development. So that's why today, Jan, Krzysztof, and Marcin all joined me to talk about their work when it comes to Python Tech Radar, what they did, what they plan on doing, and what is in store for all of us. So welcome, you guys. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hello. Hello, everyone.
Before we jump in into the topic, I want to ask you the Tech Leaders Hub question. What is your number one tip for tech leaders? And since we have, a bigger crowd than usual, I think we should do it, one by one. So maybe we will start with Jan. Tell us what you do, who you are, and jump into your number one tip.
So let me introduce myself, Jan Pleszyński. I work in SDX Next as a solution architect, and that is a technical arm of a sales team. So I gather requirements from potential clients and propose initial architecture and team composition. And when you ask me about my top one tip for Tech Leaders Hub, it's like super difficult to pick one. I have two in my mind, so I'll let myself present both of these tips.
Go for it.
Thanks. First is, before you introduce change in a team that you are new at, first gain trust. Like, trust is the most important factor that has to be established before introducing change. If you don't do that, even if your change or proposition is brilliant, is great, like it would be declined by the team. And I tested that in real life.
Did you test that in a positive or the non so positive way, where you established trust and it worked, or you didn't and it very much did not work?
The latter, it didn't work.
Yeah, so, that's what I expected.
But because of that, I learned that thing. And the second tip is stay curious, not judgmental. Like, every situation that you encounter, it has some reasoning, some history behind it. So first seek to learn it, and always be curious why things look like they are. And just cease to judge, don't judge. That doesn't bring
okay, anything. That is a very good tip for everybody. And I don't think it's a good tip only for tech leaders. I think it's a good tip for everyone in their life. And if we're talking about staying curious, I am curious if some of you recognize one of our guests today, because Marcin Zabawa is actually a person who was already once on the show when Jakub was hosting. So hello, Marcin. Can you tell us a bit about what you do now, because I know your role has changed just a little bit, and about your number one tip?
Yeah, so thank you very much for inviting me again to Tech Leaders Hub. I'm always happy to
my pleasure
be here. My role didn't change that much. I'm right now the director of delivery at SDX Next. So I'm doing basically the same stuff, making sure that our clients are getting great value from cooperating with us. And when it comes to tip for tech leaders, I feel that at current times, a tip has to be connected somehow to AI. The tip would be to rethink your recruitment process, especially the tech assessment part, but not to make it ChatGPT proof, but rather ChatGPT embracing. Because in the near future, I'm pretty sure we will encourage, not prohibit, the usage of code generating tools in our daily work. So we should check if the candidates know how to leverage them, but also how to avoid some dangers that that kind of tools bring. So so that would be my tip for leadership roles in technology right now.
That is very interesting, and we will definitely dive deeper into the topic later on in the session. But I'm very curious what you guys will say about the AI tools that have emerged lately and what was in store for us and for the whole software development world. And as Kuba said, the first ever guest of Tech Leaders Hub returns. So it's a great return, everybody. And our last guest today is Krzysztof Sopyła, who is an AI expert. Krzysztof, what is your number one tip? And tell us, what do you do?
Hello, everyone. I'm a head of machine learning and data engineering at STX. So my role was clearly connected with the AI and the ML. And Natasha, when you, before the broadcast, say about that you asked about the one tip, I really have a hard time to figure it out what is the one tip, because, you know, leading the teams, in my opinion, is doing many things right. So many small things you have to do right and on time. But when I have to choose one, I think setting a vision and a mission for your project or company is the most important from my experience, because people like to work for a cause, like to work to do, want to do the things that really matter. And if you choose the mission and the vision right, that is very appealing to the people, so many following mistake will be forgotten. So this is my tip. Maybe a little bit general than Jan and Marcin, but I really like the feeling that I work for a cause and for something higher than me.
Well, yeah, of course. I think it's a very true statement that all of us want to come into work and feel like we make a difference and we work something that is, you know, something that is close to our heart and something that we care about, because otherwise, then what's the point, right? Exactly. So that was a good tip in my book. Don't worry. Starting out with the topic of today's conversation, as I mentioned, you are all co-creators of Python Tech Creator, but we all know a co-creator might mean a lot of different things. So I would love it if you all said just maybe two or three words about what was your role in the project, what did you do? And I would like to start with Marcin, because I know that Marcin was actually kind of at the point zero of creating the project. So can you tell us a little bit more about your role, Marcin?
Yeah, so my role was to initiate and bring the idea. But to be honest, after the initial idea, my friend Łukasz Gmyz and Paulina Kaiser took it and brought it to another level. So right now I'm looking at the results of Python Tech Radar, and I'm blown away by the evolution of this concept. But initially, that there were two inspirations for this report. And we, as a company as STX Next, we're mostly famous because of our Python development services. So we are often picked by companies that love Python. And I just noticed that many of them, for many of them, it's important to give back to community. And some of our clients sponsor open source projects. SendCloud, one of our clients, is a great example of this. I was always kind of envy of this. And that inspired us to think what we can do ourselves in this regard. And we are already sponsoring some local meetups and conferences in Poland, but we wanted to do something for global Python community. And we decided to take advantage of the large pool of developers of Python enthusiasts that we have access to and to generate some useful insights for the community using this this group of people who dedicated themselves to Python. So that was the main inspiration. And the second one, which still remained reflected in the name of the initiative, Python Tech Radar. It's obviously Technology Radar from ThoughtWorks, which I and also many of my friends here at STX read regularly, and this is something that was always a example that we wanted to do something on a similar level. So that was my humble role at the beginning of Python Tech Radar, and again, I'm blown away by the extent to which it grew under Łukasz and
Paul. Mm-hmm. And we already know that you wanted to give back to the Python community and kind of share those insights that we have, since we have so many Python developers here. But if you could maybe share a little bit more, who do you think can benefit the most from reading and kind of getting the deep dive into the PTR? Who do you think should actually reach out for this resource and when it can be most beneficial?
So there are two parts of PTR. First one are deep dive articles about future of Python, and this part will be interesting for every techie person who like Python and use Python regularly and want to continue doing that. What I especially like is that those are not like a typical articles that we publish on the web about some summaries or tutorials or comparisons. It's really a deep dive. So if you're doing Python and you often think about the features of the language, the future of the language, how it will evolve, this will be very interesting for you. And the second part is results of survey of I think more than 200 people using Python regularly, and what do they think about Python, about the directions in which it will go. This is interesting for even wider group of people, because even I, and I'm more about business, was able to find really interesting facts about the state of Python community. For example, seniority of people. What does it mean today to be a senior in people's own judgment? How many years of experience do I have if I want to call myself a senior and be recognized by my peers, other developers, as a senior? How many projects I have to take part in? It's interesting really for everyone who has contact with Python, not only technical people, but also those supporting roles, business people who decided to use Python to realize their projects and their ideas.
Okay, Martin mentioned the first part that included those articles, and today we're ever so lucky to be joined by Jan Praszyński, who was one of the authors of such articles. So, Janek, if you could tell us a little bit more about what you wrote about and how did that work look from your side?
Okay, so maybe I'll start with the latter part of the question. How did that look from my side? Because the person who spread that idea in the organization was Marcin, but then it came to a group of interested developers, interested in writing articles. And we started with brainstorming, like with ideation of what may be the next thing for the Python and what may be appealing to readers. we came up with a lot of ideas, out of which most we had to remove because, like, it was impossible to write about all of them. But finally, we landed with three that we wanted to cover. Two of the articles were technical. My article, which I wrote with Szymon Darmochał, it was about concurrency in Python, basically about its history, presence, and future. Yet another article was about performance increase introduced by Python 3.11. It's worth to mention that the increase that we have experienced as a community is from 20 to 60%. So that's a massive gain. And if you want to know the details of why that performance gain is there, where does it stem from, then feel free to read that article from PTR. And the third article that we chose to write is maybe less tech-centric, but it's about maybe more business related, especially for startups. So it's about the role of Python in writing proof of concepts and MVPs, because Python is considered a great choice for quickly ramping up your business. It's easy to learn, easy to use with broad ecosystem. So this is what we covered in this third article.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's basically a glimpse of what was created.
And how would you say the work looked like in a way that, you know, because people came with an idea that, hey, we want to create something that will give to the Python community. And how did you end up on those three topics? Why they were chosen over the other ones that you mentioned didn't make it?
It was mainly because of expertise that we have in these topics. Like, people will do their best in the areas where they are most knowledgeable. So every expert who chose to write to take part in this endeavor picked an idea and for an article that was like first which was like something on the edge of the Python, and second was knowledgeable in that area.
So Python Tech Raider, as we mentioned, includes not only those three articles that are in the beginning, but also expert commentary. And one of the experts that did the commentary was Krzysztof Sapyła. So I would like to ask you about your work and how that looked from your side. What was your role in the project?
So when I heard about the PTR and that our company, STX, come to an idea to prepare something like that, I think it will be very useful, and especially for the tech leaders and the developer, you know, to see the direction of the upcoming changes. Not only the Python language itself, but I would say Python ecosystem as a whole. So my role was basically to help the team to develop the PTR questions related to the machine learning, and also, you know, analyzing the answer, trying to drive some kind of conclusions. So, that's what basically my role in the PTR.
Okay, and one topic that is already something I want to ask. Maybe all of you, maybe only one of you will want to answer, but I'm very curious because. We're talking about PTR. It was released, about 2 months ago. And since then, a lot of things have happened. ChatGPT 4 was released. I don't even remember when the third one was released. And now I'm only all about the fourth. And a lot of things have changed. And do you think that it stands the test of time, the knowledge that is included in Python Tech Raider?
Maybe I will start. So, we are seeing a lot of velocity in the technology. So everything moves really, really fast. But even the last, most of the things that we included in the PTR, most of the questions that were that have been asked to the people, and most of the answers are very related because they showed us the upcoming changes. They show that people want to learn, from my perspective, our developers want to learn machine learning. They want to learn the AI. They see that the AI is the future of the software development in many different areas, as a supporting for a developers, as a new things that you have to include in your products, as a new way of working with the software. So from my perspective, and I try to think a little bit what is going on right now, I think it's stood the test of time. And even if you read it at the moment, you will see how the upcoming months could look like, what is obsolete, what libraries will be obsolete, and what new technologies you have to carefully look at, because for a few months they will emerge, or maybe you have to incorporate in some way in your project. So I see, basically I see that Python Tech Radar is a radar. Yeah, so it shows on this spot of the ecosystem of the Python what changes are coming and what should you focus about in the next few months.
Okay, you mentioned that by reading the radar, you can find out what changes are coming and what you should focus on. And this is exactly what I want to ask you guys about today a little bit more. Not only about what's in the Python Tech Radar itself, of course, but what is your own take on what is in store for Python and what is in store for tech leaders and tech developers in the future. So one of the big topics, of course, is that we all know that Python is the language to go when it comes to machine learning and when it comes to AI. And AI is the go-to solution when it comes to tech right now. So I would love to hear a little bit more. Where do you think that is headed? Where we can kind of expect to see most advances, and what actually we should focus on right now when it comes to AI development? I think, Krzysztof, you are the most...
Okay, so, in my opinion, AI is a really, really hot topic, and I think that it will stay with us for a really long time. I'm in the field from 2010, and see how this emerging technology emerged from 2007, I would say. But the beginning of the AI was rather in a R&D and department that was related basically on the R&D. But nowadays, most of the companies try to incorporate the AI parts in their system and in their products. So how the future will look like? So obviously large language models is something that revolutionized the way we interact with the AI. We try to feel that AI is some kind of companion that we really spoke about, that we can ask questions and give meaningful and mostly factful answers. And
I like how you said mostly factful answers.
Yeah, mostly, because it's not perfect, but for I would say 1 year we will have those kind of models that are very truthful and factfulness, and we develop different kinds of technologies that will help us to more understand the answers from the AI. And from my perspective, this will be very, very hot topic in the 2023. We have a lot of new large language models that we can commercially use not only ChatGPT, but Llama, Lambda, Bard, most of the big tech companies like Microsoft, Google, Azure show their APIs to the large language models. So we can easily incorporate those kinds of functionalities in our products. There is a new field, I would say, that emerged from this technology, that is prompt engineering. And you don't have to be a machine learning engineer. You don't have to understand how those models work behind the scene, but you have to understand how to talk with them, how to prepare the prompt that will be useful, how to assess the prompt, etc. So the whole new domain of the software expertise was open, and I think most of the, not only Python developers, but most of the developers should learn how to write a prompt, how to interact with AI, what is capable, what are the requirements, and what are the restrictions of using it, and what are the risks of using large language models. So, for me, this year will be the year of the large language models and figure it out how to work with them, how to incorporate them in your products. And one more thing comes to my mind, because up to this point, most of the AI related work was done by the R&D departments, and there is too little AI managers, too little AI product owners, too little product managers, AI product managers, too little people who can run the projects and understand how to run a project with the AI components. So this is also will be huge, I think, and demand for those people will be skyrocket, because as we see, our clients wants to work with AI and wants to start an new AI project. So people who understand this, who understand how to prepare a backlog, for example, with the AI, different AI task. This is different mindset. This is, AI is not, I would say, is not so, I forgot the word in English. Guys, maybe you will help me. IT project is very strict. It's a lot of different things that you have to deal with, but most of them, when you set it right, could be done in a fixed amount of time. But when you...
Is the word unpredictable?
Unpredictable and deterministic. So, AI development is a little bit undeterministic. So you don't. It's really hard to predict how much time the task will last. But you can change the way you think about the task related to the AI. You don't have to set a task. Prepare an algorithm for that, but you can say, okay, let's do an experiment that will last for, 6, 8, 12 hours. And after that, we just drive some conclusion from this experiment. So we will see the different, we will see the difference in preparing the backlog, in gathering the requirements, in running the project as a whole, I would say.
And I'm very curious because, of course, like you, Krzysztof, yourself work with AI a lot, probably the most out of any of us here, and more than three of us gathered together, me, Janek, and Martin. But I'm curious how it looks from the other guy's perspective. So, for example, Jan, you're a solutions architect, and do you actually have that the same feeling? Do you use AI in your work already? How does that look like for you?
So yes, I use it every day, every hour. First of all, that's the most common use case, just to fix my conversation with clients and other people. I ask it to make my writing like superior, and that's
that the prompt. You ask it to make it superior.
Sometimes I do.
I have to try that out.
Just that. And that's basically more pleasant and understandable and approachable for other people to read. But on top of that, it also enabled us to do something that was unthinkable before in the sales process. And that is to prepare a proof of concept in a very limited time. Because what generative AI is to developers and basically to every knowledge worker, it is productivity multiplier. Like if you have a person who knows how to use AI well, that person can do the job of 10 people easily.
So is this the famous 10x engineer now? Just an engineer that can use AI?
But right now, there will be more 10x engineers. Maybe like the baseline will be just different from now on.
But also, isn't it like when everybody is a 10x engineer, nobody is, you know? That's a quote from the Incredibles guys.
This is why I mentioned that the baseline will just be different. Yet another off-topic, I heard the comparison that developers with generative AI are like sports people on steroids.
Oh, that actually is a good one. Yeah, I can see the parallel.
Like just pumped up guys.
So I wanted to, since we kind of arrived there early, let's do the dive already. I wanted to discuss kind of between us what we all think is going to happen for developers, especially because there's been a lot of talk that is there still a future in engineering, and is there still a place for new developers to pop up? And what is your take? What do you think will happen?
I have to say, I really like this angle that Janek took, that we as IT people figure out the technology that help us communicate with outside people. So that's something we should have predict. Maybe I will take a moment to support what Krzysztof said, because I feel the same about AI, that the change that we're seeing is that AI went out of R&D department. Then for some time it was in the buzzword area, where everybody who came up with a new product said that it's AI powered, that there's the secret sauce inside, and it will be great because of this. Obviously in most cases it was like a really small part, not significant for the overall usability, and in most cases it was inferior to similar solutions that were not based on AI. And now we are with AI on the verge of adoption. So we are seeing that there we can already see it. There will be multiple AI providers that we will be able to use in our products. So it's closer to what we now think about cloud providers, AWS or Azure. So it will be kind of similar, and it means that even for developers who are not primarily focused on machine learning or even data engineering, it will be a subject, because there will be some capabilities in the cloud probably that they will be able to leverage in their products by integrating with it. So suddenly AI became a subject for everyone, and especially from for people who are conceptualizing new products. And before, mostly AI was interesting for technical people or for futurists, and today it's interesting for product owners, product managers, visionaries, but the ones who are looking at what we have right now in technology and what cool stuff we can build with this. So that's a big change for me on the business and product level. But of course, there's also a significant impact on every developer because of generative AI tools. And there are different opinions, of course. Many people fear that it doesn't make sense to teach my kids programming anymore. But I think that for software professionals, the advent of those generative AI tools doesn't mean less work, but it does mean less like cookie cutter projects. And I think it's a positive change. Maybe for the people who are on the entry level in software development, this is not a good news, because on those standard cookie cutter projects, it's easiest to learn. It's also the easiest way to get into professional software jobs. But for everybody else, I think it's a good news, because most people want to work on some cool innovative stuff and not another version of the same. And another thought when it comes to the impact of AI to software development is that I think that most people overestimate the code generation aspect, thinking it will replace the developers. So I will be able to just write maybe even in a natural language what I want, what the system should do, and I will get back a code, the whole code base, or maybe a ready application on some kind of cloud server. I don't think it would replace developers anytime soon. But at the same time, I feel that many people tend to underestimate how AI in form of smart chatbots integrated into IDE will boost the productivity, the swift learning during coding. And well, for example, if you have a new library that you think you can use, those tools will give instant access to documentation of libraries or examples on how to use them. Developers didn't have this before. And I think it will be a factor that will lower the bar in the same way Stack Overflow lowered the entry level, the bar of for software developers 15 years ago. That's what I think about this new AI stuff that so, is coming out.
Natasha, today, I have two comments to the things that Martin talked about. One thing is that the cost of the AI, the cost of the developing AI, has lowered drastically. So the case that Martin mentioned, that most of the company say that they are doing AI, and under the hood there was only a small piece of the AI component there. But nowadays, I think that the case was mainly by the reason that one year later, doing an AI was really, really expensive, because you have to do a lot of experiments, you have to gather a lot of data. And those kinds of process takes time and takes an expertise. Nowadays, you can drastically cut the cost of implementing AI with your tools. Of course, OpenAI API is a little bit costly, but it's far less than doing your own research, preparing your own algorithms. Of course, in some kind of domains, you have to prepare your own model on your data, and the model accuracy and the model performance will be much greater than the things you can achieve with the ChatGPT. But for most of the projects I can remember, nowadays they can use an OpenAI tool with the proper prompting and a little bit experimenting with the prompts, and they can achieve what they built previously for a month. So from my perspective, the decreasing of the cost of implementing the AI is really, really huge factor. And one more thing that Martin say, I also totally agree that we underestimate the capabilities of a AI in the context of getting familiar with the new libraries. So if you know that this kind of library will help you, you don't have to read, maybe you don't have to read, but you don't have to spend too much time in order to find an examples, to find different edge cases that this particular function has, the AI will mostly help you with generating the particular snippet of the code, but also will help you help you answer the questions about the documentation. So this will be really, really huge to have some kind of body that you can easily ask about different edge cases or different parameters, and we'll show you what is the impact of the fourth or tenth argument in the function. And from my perspective, this will be also a very, very big and performance.
I really look forward to the moment when AI will also be able to do this library discovery. Yeah. Because in Python, there's a lot of the community is really numerous. So there's tons of libraries for everything, and you obviously struggle in picking the right one, learning about the right one, and maybe this will be also a big change.
So this will be sooner than you think about, because there is a library called LangChain, and there is an idea of an agent, so you can chain the particular task from one model to another model, and you can also incorporate the for example different systems in this chain. So you can query the Google search, or query the PyIndex with all of the libraries, and ask the question which is the most suitable for data processing, or a data processing on the GPU, for example, and it will query the particular site, get some candidates, and choose the proper one, and say, okay, use the, for example, pandas.
And then someone will ask what's the most suitable JS framework, and AI will offend.
Waiting for that day. Finally, AI and not me.
And we'll have some guys poisoning ChatGPT, saying that jQuery is the best framework to use.
I mean,
2030, everyone uses jQuery because ChatGPT told us so.
This is the future of CEO, actually.
But while we're at the topic, we actually have a question that I wanted to address, because Andrew in the comments asked, based on your comments about the unpredictability of AI, do you believe that it will eventually replace professions where human factors are critical, such as healthcare, social therapy, as well as professions like law, where a lot of information is already documented and the rules are pretty much the same for everyone? Since we kind of agreed that in the software tech industry and all that world, jobs won't be cut. The market can grow there. How do we feel about the future of other jobs?
I think it's fair to recognize that vast majority of predictions that were made by smart people about which jobs are vulnerable and which not failed. So everybody said that the safe job is the one connected with creativity. Software developer, artist, maybe visual artist too, graphic designer. And the jobs that are not safe are accountant, like legal specialist, lawyer. It turned out that it's not the case. We have Midjourney that generates great images. We had for more than 10 years products that generated music on a level that was not distinguishable from human composers. And on the other
hand, you had that great story you told me once about that experiment with generated music. It's you who told me that. Now I remember.
Yes, classical music. Yeah, and it was back in 2010, I think. So quite a long time ago. But on the other part of the spectrum, if we now think about removing accountants, it suddenly appeared that a good accountant needs to sometimes navigate on the verge of rules and not following rules very strictly. And with lawyer, maybe law is very logical, has a very logical aspect, many rules that can be automated. We had those smart contracts in crypto world, even decentralized organizations that were predicted to use those smart contracts to do legal binding things when something happened. But there's also this aspect of a lawyer that is connected with figuring out what the parties want to achieve and mediating between them and argumenting, negotiating. I don't see AI replacing this anytime soon. So I think there are still many surprises before us when it comes to jobs which will be automated.
My friend who is a lawyer, and he says when you ask a question to two lawyers, then you have two different answers. So it's not so predictable. Law is not so predictable. Everyone has its own opinion about the law and the interpretation of the law. So I also agree that those kinds of jobs, when you have to think a little bit, you have to figure it out. What are the contexts? What are the cases? What are the corner cases? Will last. But the AI could help us. Could help the lawyers to find another cases which talks about the particular manner. From my perspective, I see that those jobs when you have to have the contact with the human, like care, like also the law, when you go to the lawyer and you have to explain what is happening, what is going on, and most of the time the lawyer will act as some kind of psychotherapist and help you.
Oh my God! Your lawyer has to be a poor person, very very sad person.
You know, maybe I a little bit exaggerate, but when you have a real serious problem, I mean, when you go to the lawyer, one of these jobs is to say about all of the consequences and all of the things that he can do for you. So yeah. So you can.
I mean, I feel like most jobs nowadays have a human factor. Like we say, oh yeah, there are jobs where you have to interact with people, and there are jobs where you don't. But I mean, it is true technically, but also you always work with somebody in mind, even when, for example, mm-hmm. you're a software developer and you don't have that contact with a client, you still work with a client. You have to know what they want. You have to kind of understand it. And it takes more than just kind of getting a brief, you know, I feel
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And I have to add to this that you can pass this context of the whole situation. It's very hard to pass this context of whole the situation to the prompt.
Exactly.
That's why we have to communicate. That we have different tools for communicating. The information flow is much higher and at a much higher bandwidth than normal. So you can describe everything in the prompt and all of the context in the prompt. So I think we are safe. And one more thing, I would
the machines won't take over. Hot news, guys. Machines. No,
maybe
are not.
Contact with the human will be, I would say, like a premium service. So at the basic level, you will talk with the AI agents, and if you want something, you want to accomplish something harder, something more complex, then you will have to talk with the humans eventually. So
mm-hmm.
this is very grim future. I already hate calling anyone who has this automated system that tries to answer my problems. And I think you're right. There will be more of it.
Yeah, that but is like, true. Like, if anybody...
when you have a really simple question and really simple and what a really simple answer, those systems are very, very helpful to the company. So, for example, if you have a question about the internal policies in our company and you can't find it through the search, you can easily chat with the chatbot, and you can say, okay, this is the answer. So in those kinds of situations, it will be really helpful. You don't have to deal with other people and the bother than minds.
Mm-hmm. And Jan, you wanted to say something, yeah, but we kind of jumped in.
That's true. That happened, but no offense. And my take on that that comment from Andrew is that, like, in the short term, I think that we are all safe and the AI will only improve the quality of these services. So, for example, healthcare people will have more time to speak with people, like, as you mentioned, like for this human-to-human relations, rather than interfacing with technology, which currently takes them a lot of time. The same, like, for the law, maybe the legal cases will not take us 3 years to complete. But maybe 2 weeks or a week, and we can serve more of them. Like, I heard a statement that there will always be some computations to compute, and I stand behind that, be that legal or healthcare computations or whatever. So I think that in the short term, we are fine, but we have to embrace that AI, because people who will embrace it will be more capable than those who won't. But I think that in the long term, like 10, 20, 30 years in the future, like the machines may take over, but that may be not that bad future, because we may then, as humanity, just do pleasant things and talk about philosophy, solve some math problems and party.
That is a very hot take, everybody. Machines might take over, but, you know, let's make them philosophers.
No, let's make us philosophers.
Ah, like, okay. I mean, it is
not
true.
Not machines. Let's do pleasant things, like let's indulge in like intellectual and physical pleasures.
I mean, the point of like creating machines...
Crunch numbers.
Yeah, it is the point of creating machines to make life easier for ourselves. So maybe let's take advantage
exactly.
of it and, you know, work less if the machines can be programmed to do that for us and just enjoy our time here. That would be a nice future. That's true. Okay, I can get on board with that.
That's also not a new idea. I remember there's this famous poem about All Watched Over by Machines of Loving Grace. It's from the 60s, I think. You can Google it out. It sticked in my mind. So maybe we are reaching this soon.
Hopefully. So going back to the tech sector and not the overall world sector, I wanted to kind of ask you some last questions about taking all of that into consideration, what we mentioned, what we talked about. I want to know what you guys think about what is the next big step. What is the most important thing or action that people can take to kind of prepare for that future where we, as Krzysztof said, 2023 will be the year of AI. What can tech leaders do? What can software developers do to be prepared for that time and kind of use the most out of it? If you had only, like, I don't know, one step to take. And that is the moment when they think of their answers and they cannot think of any. So, no, but, you know, just think about it. If you only had one thing to prepare for the, let's say, next year and new advances, what do you think would be the most beneficial action to take?
Well, I would say that just keep an eye on what's happening, on what's trending, because changes are super rapid. The velocity is high. Like every week we are, like, the new technology is getting released. So just keep an eye on it. Try to get your hands on everything just for a small amount of time and have opinion on that.
So
stay curious, not judgmental.
Exactly. Just perfectly. So stay curious. And don't be afraid, because I've noticed that some people are afraid of AI, and they tend to stay away from it because, like, oh, it's scary, it will take our job, so I don't like it and I will not use it. Don't do that. That's for sure.
Okay, that is I think actually pretty good advice, you know, because that is true that the emerging tech is overwhelming. It's like every week there's a new release, and if your Twitter feed looks anything like mine, then at least once a week you see a tweet with, oh, these are the AI tools to use for this, and these are the tools to use for that. I could totally do like my own movie at this point with all those tools, probably, if I checked them out. So
Natasha, I have this similar feeling, but every new research paper that is coming up on a Twitter. So I have such a long to read list with all of the papers that I have to read because it's something new. And every new day I have something that was obsolete and something that is better than the previous solution. And
yeah, that is so tiring, though. I will admit that,
you know,
in my...
You always have a feeling that you are behind. So this is very intimidating. And I would say my recommendation would be that you don't have to follow all of the news. You don't have to follow all of the things. Just try to keep the direction and try to play with the AI, try to learn and understand the AI, maybe do some kind of course on the Coursera, Udemy, or other platform in order to a little bit understand it, and try to learn how the prompting look like and how the prompting could help and could help you. So it is, I would say, quite general recommendation for all of the developers and also for other mental workers, I would say.
See, you don't have to follow everything. You just need to follow Tech Leaders Hub. Simple. Very simple. But
to double down on this, I think a wise thing to do in the current situation is to take a moment to find a few of your favorite thought leaders or people who are doing a deep dive and summing up the things that they discovered. And Tech Leaders Cup is one of candidates for that kind of role. So definitely, you should look for more of Tech Leaders Cup.
And my final advice to you guys, all the listeners and watchers at home, is also go to pythontechradar.stxnext.com, download Python Tech Radar, read it, and I'm sure you will feel way more prepared for what's ahead. And this brings us basically to the end. So thank you very much for joining me today. It was a pleasure. I have to admit that those sessions where we get to have more guests and more people on the show are really fun, because it's more like a conversation between all of us, and I really enjoyed that. So thank you for being my guests today. And thank you to all the people who took the time out of their day to listen to us and to ask us questions. And this is it for today. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.